Hey, today's daf is Chulin Daf Nun Tes. Today's the day where we make the transition in Perek Eli Trefos from all the halachas of Trefos to the halachas of determining what's a kosher animal and what's not a kosher animal. So first thing we left off in Daf Nun Chesam Beis at the Mishnah. So first we're still going to be discussing things that could or could not make an animal a Trefos. So we're going to discuss a number of illnesses that an animal might suffer from that do not make the animal a Trefos. The Gemara is going to talk about people eating certain things that might be potentially dangerous and certain eitzas to get around the danger. But then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to transition into simanei tahara of different types of animals, of behemos, of chayos, of ofos, of dagin. What are considered the simanei tahara? How do you tell if an animal is kosher or not? And then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if you can't check the regular simanim. The animal's feet are cut off, so you can't tell if it has split hooves. So is there any other way to tell whether the animal is kosher if the regular simanei tahara are not there? So the Gemara is going to have a number of examples where, as long as you're aware of the one exception of the one animal that it might be that only has one of the simanei tahara and not the other, and you know that it's not that animal, then you can assume that just by checking one of the two simanei tahara that would be good enough. The Gemara is also going to distinguish or let us know how to distinguish between a chaya and a behema, with a big nafkamina between the chaya and the behema being not in terms of whether it's kosher, but whether you're allowed to eat the chaylev of the chaya or behema, the other nafkamina, even though the Gemara doesn't mention it, between the chaya and the behema, is whether you need to do kisei adam when you do a shechita, that a chaya requires kisei adam, a behema does not require kisei adam. That's for later in the Masechta. Then the Gemara is going to discuss unusual creatures, some creatures that are extremely powerful and things that were not used to seeing, and that's going to lead us into a discussion of four different conversations that happened between the Kesar and Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, only the first of which appears in today's daf and relates to one of these unusual creatures, one of these incredibly powerful creatures. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Achuzas Hadam, an animal that has an increase in the level of blood in a sudden way and it becomes sick from that. Vamu Shenes, or an animal that inhales smoke and its body takes in smoke. Vamitsunenes, a behema that becomes sick from cold. Vishachla Hardufni, an animal that eats a certain type of poison or something that's poisonous, at least for animals. Vishachla tzoas tarnagolim, an animal that ate the excrement of chickens. Oshashasas mayim harayim, or it drank water that was left exposed and therefore has the venom of a snake in it. Kshera, all of these animals are kosher, you're allowed to eat them, they are not considered to be a trefa, because all of these machlos, even though it could kill the animal, they do not make the animal a trefa, and it's not considered a sakana that's going to pass on to the person, meaning it is a sakana for the animal, but not to the level where it's a trefa, and it's not a sakana for the person. What we're meaning, there are two possible reasons why such a thing, and the Gemara is going to deal with it, why such a thing would be asur. One possible reason that the animal's inherently a trefa from these things, and the other possible reason is, even if the animal's not a trefa, you're not allowed to eat something that will be dangerous to you. So we're suggesting that these things are not dangerous for a person to eat. Achla sama maves oshe kisha nachash muteres mishum trefa vasim mishum sakonis levashos. If an animal eats something that's poisonous for humans, not just poisonous for animals, but poisonous for humans, or it gets bit by a snake, so then it's not a trefa's issue, but it's still asur mishum sakonis levashos. So that second iser is still going to apply. So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, he'll eat the chiltis. If a person eats a behema if a person feeds a behema a chiltis, which is a poisonous thing for a behema to eat, trefa, it will make it a trefa. My taima to minakva luhula mayona, because it will the chiltis will puncture holes in the stomach of the animal that eats it, and therefore it will make it a trefa. So Rav Shizvi says, you know, we have a brisa that seems to contradict some of the things we just learned. The brisa tells tells us, hamushenes, an animal that inhales smoke, v'sha'achlar dufni, or it eats something that's poisonous for animals, v'sha'achlat soas tarnagolim, v'sha'asas mayim arayim, or eats the excrement of tarnagolim, or drinks mayim magulim, he'll eat tateya, it chews on a certain type of very bitter herb, chiltis, pilpulin, peppercorns, which are very bad for it. Achla sama maves, or it eats poison kshera. Hikisha nachashoshin neshacha kelev shota, muteris mishum trefa, va'asura mishum sakarnas nefashos. If a snake bites it, or a wild dog, a rabid dog bites it, it's muter mishum trefa, but it's also because it's sakarnas nefashos for a human to eat that. So kasha chiltis achiltis, what we have is a stira, whether what the effect of chiltis is. The Brisa says that if it eats chiltis, it's kshera. Shmuel had said that if it eats chiltis, it's trefa. And kasha samamavis, asamamavis. The Brisa says that if it eats something that's a samamavis, it's kosher, and it's mutar b'achila. The Mishnah said that if it eats samamavis, it's asur mishum sakonis nefashos. So it's a double stira. One, and on one level, this Brisa is soser Shmuel. On the other level, this Brisa is soser our Mishnah. It says, mar chiltis achiltis lo kasha, kan ba'olin, kan ba'kratin. The stira about eating chiltis is not a kasha at all. The Brisa was talking about eating the chiltis leaves. So even though they are poisonous for an animal, they're not going to make the animal a trefa. Whereas Shmuel was talking about eating the stalks of the chiltis, which in addition to being poisonous for the animal, is also pointy and sharp and will poke holes in the animal's stomach and will therefore make the animal a trefa. Sama mavis asama mavis lo kasha, hadida hada adam. And the stira about poison is not a kasha either, because when the Brisa said sama mavis, it means something that's sama mavis for a behema, but it would not be considered poisonous for humans, and therefore would not be a sakana for a human being to eat, and the animal would be kosher. Whereas the Mishnah, when it spoke about eating sama mavis, that you would not be allowed to eat because it's dangerous, is talking about when the animal consumed the sama mavis that's poisonous for humans. Sama mavis to behema hainu ardufni. So ask the Gemara, but wait, you can't say that the Brisa is talking about sama mavis that's only poisonous for animals, because the Brisa also lists hardufni, so why would the Brisa have to mention the same thing twice? Hardufni is something that's poisonous for animals. Yeah, trei gavni sama mavis. There are two different types of sama mavis for animals that are mentioned. The Achronim explain that by hardufni there's a refuah for hardufni. So the Brisa wants to tell me not only a sama mavis lebehema that has a refuah, but even a sama mavis for behema that doesn't have a refuah, it's still the isser is not going to transfer over to the person who eats it, because the person, it's not considered to be poisonous for the person. My teya, what is this teya that the Brisa had said that if an animal eats it, the animal's still kosher? So Amar Rav Yehuda, what is teya? Ikra dimri rasa. It's some type of root that is very bitter, and it has some sort of unhealthy type of ingredient in it. But it's still going to make it, it's going to be mazik to the animal, but it's still going to be kosher. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hayman da achol tlasa tikli chiltis aliba rekana. If a person eats the weight of 3 shkalim of chiltis before he has a su'uda, meaning on an empty stomach, mishtalach mashke, his skin is going to start peeling off, because it heats him up a lot, he becomes very sick, and the temperature that his body temperature rises to the point where his skin starts falling off. Amar Rav Yavo, b'didi avu uvda, I had such a maisa, v'achli chad tikla chiltisa, I ate just 1 shekel of weight of chiltis, v'ilo diyasi b'mayim mishtalach mashkai, and if I didn't sit in a cold bath afterwards, my skin would have fallen off, meaning my skin would have peeled off, I needed to cool my body off in order to avoid that unfortunate result. V'kiyamti ba'atzmi, hachachma t'chaya ba'aleha, and I fulfilled about myself what the pasuk says, that wisdom keeps a person alive, that knowing that I was bisakana and how to handle the issue is what kept me alive. Meaning a person has to, having that knowledge of what's dangerous and what's good for you and how to handle situations of danger is often a life-saving thing. the pasuk Chachma Techaya Ba'aleha. So the Rashi writes that anyone who's a Bal Chachma will also end up being a Bal Kesef, because the Chachma's Gorem Osher. But in addition to that, the Chachma's better than Kesef, because Chachma Techaya Ba'aleha. That's in Koheles, right? So Rashi writes that in a certain sense, people think that it's important to do well in school so that you can make money. But it's better to be intelligent and to be educated than to just have money, because the money is one thing, but then you also have this additional element of techaya ba'aleha, of having that knowledge, being able to help you in a variety of situations in life. Amar Rav Yosef, Haiman da'achl shitzri bayi, a person who ate 16 eggs, varbayam guzi, and 4 egozim, vishev butisa deparchi, and 7 seeds of a fruit called the tzelef, vishasi reviyasa deduvsha, and he drank together with that a reviyas of honey, bitkufas tamuz, right in the middle of the summer, aliba reikana on an empty stomach, meaning he had this for breakfast, misakar talya delibe, his heart's going to fall apart, it's going to become detached from his body, so it's not a recommended breakfast. Breakfast of Champions. Who Bartavia Dasal Berish Galusa? There was a young deer that was brought to the Resh Galusa in Bavel, Tav Mafsik Karan Basraisa, whose hind legs were cut off by the bottom bone, and they went to the Resh Galusa to ask what the halach is. Batke Rav Bitzomas Agidin. So Rav checked by the Tzomas Agidin, that's under the shok bone, which is the middle bone of the leg. We just discussed a few days ago the 3 bones on the leg, so the middle bone of the leg, and he found that the Tzomas HaGidin was in place. So Vachshirei, so Rav was Machshirit, and he said it's not considered a trefa. Savar L'meichel Minei Bu'umsa, so Rav wanted to eat from that tzvi and by toasting it a little bit. Not to fully barbecue it in there, or fully cook it in the oven, just to salt it a little bit, to salt it a lot, and then to just roast it just a bit over gechalim, and that's what they called umtsa, meaning there are different ways of preparing meat. The idea of eating meat that's kimat raw is not new to our times. They used to have different ways of preparing meat. My wife and I were in a restaurant in Eretz Yisrael, and I saw something on the menu. The description looked very good, but I didn't recognize the name. So, but I ordered it, and they brought it to us, and we're like, "What is this? Tastes a little like fish." It was raw meat. I didn't know. So it was, So that we said to the waitress, you didn't tell us. She said, "You ordered with such confidence. I thought you knew what it meant." So Amrle Shmuel lo chay shmarle mikuri. So Shmuel said to Rav, "You're not choshesh that maybe a nachash bit it on its hind legs, and therefore you're right. It's not a trefa, but it's sakonis nefashos, because maybe it has venom in it." So Rav said to Shmuel, "My takanta. So how can I tell? How can I tell what happened to the tzvi to know if I'm allowed to eat it?" So Shmuel answered him, "No tzvi b'tanura ti iu badik nafshei. Put it in an oven and roast it there, and then you'll see that it will test itself. I mean, you'll see what happens to the basar if it stays intact or it falls apart." So osvei nafal tilchi tilchi. So Rav put it in an oven, and the flesh just started to fall apart. The meat just started to fall apart. So that was obvious because it had venom in it. Kari Shmuel aleid Rav lo yuna letzadik kol oven. So even though it was Shmuel's advice that saved Rav, Shmuel said about Rav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up that I was able to meet Rav just at the right time when Rav was about to do something dangerous, because Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want any sakana to befall a tzaddik. So it's in Rav Zuchus. He didn't take the credit for himself. It's in Rav Zuchus that he was saved over here. Kari Rav aleid Shmuel, and Rav said about Shmuel the pasuk that Nebuchadnezzar says to Daniel after he interpreted his dream, Kol Raz Lo Anaslach, that there is no secret that's hidden from you, because he sees that Shmuel knows this chachma of how to be choshish for sakana and how to be bodik. So all the times you have machlokas, Rav and Shmuel is a healthy reminder that Rav and Shmuel may have disagreed about many, many things in halacha, but the respect that they had for one another was a very high level of respect. And that phrase in Daniel has become a very common phrase in rabbinic literature when they talk about someone whose knowledge is unbelievable. The Kol Raz Lo Anaslach, that there is no secret that escapes him, that he knows everything. Okay, so now we move into a separate section of this parak where we're going to talk about how to tell if an animal is a kosher min or not a kosher min. What we call kosher not kosher, or kosher and treif, is really a behemah tamei versus behemah tohara. What is a min tamei? What is a min min tahar. So the Mishnah goes through all of the simanim. Simanim behema v'chaya nemru min haTorah. You know, some of the simanim are easier. The simanim of behema and chaya are explicit in the Torah what they are in Parsha Shmini and in Parshas Re'eh, that a behema that's a malagera mafrise parsa is tahar and is motzei b'achila, and if it only has one of those simanim or zero of those simanim, then it's asur b'achila. The simanim of lo nemru, but it doesn't say the simanim of in the Torah to be able to tell what is a kosher bird and what is not a kosher bird. Aval amru chachamim, but the chachamim gave us simanim to be able to tell about an oaf that kol oaf hadores, any oaf that is a predatory bird, tame, that's going to be a tame bird, that's going to be a non-kosher bird. So that's a simon that the chachamim gave, but is not a simon that you find in the Torah itself. Tosus writes in Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph that it could be that this klal was a kabbalah from the days of Noach, because Noach already had to bring mikol of tahar ve'iven Noach mizbeach laHashem, and he took mikol abeima atahora mikol of atar ve'yal olos b'mizbeach. So he had to be able to have some sort of mesorah to be able to tell kol sheyesha, and simani tara are by a bird kol sheyesh lo etz bayisera, if it has an extra finger that is higher from the other than the other etzbaos, that's behind the other etzbaos, vizefek, and it has a zefek, which is like something that's it's by the neck of the animal, that it looks like a sack at the end of the veshet where the food all gathers together, and that's where the digestion begins. Vikurkavano niklaf, and the kurkavan, which is the aver inside the animal that really digests the food after it starts to digest a little bit in the zefek. So if the outer surface of it can peel off, so then tahar. Then we know that if it has all three of those simanim, that is a kashra bird. That is a tahar bird. If it has all four simanim tahar, it turns out, these three simanim tahar and it's eno dores, then it's tahar. If it has a simen tuma, that it's dores, and it doesn't have these three simanim tahar, then it's vaday tame. The Gemara is going to discuss when you can be somech on some of the simanim and not others. But certainly, if you have all four, you know for sure it's tahar. If you have none of the four, you know for sure that it is tame. Reb Lazar Rebbe Tzadok Omer, kol of acholik es raglav tame. The way to check a bird, if it's a tahar or a tame bird, is put it on a string and see how it rests on the string. If when you put it on a string, it splits its fingers and puts some on one side of the string and some on the other side, that's a raya that it is tame. But a kosher bird would have all of its fingers on one side of the string. The Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayis that Reb Lazar Rebbe Tzadok is correct, and Tosfos Yontif says Reb Lazar Rebbe Tzadok is not cholik on the Tanakama, he's just giving another simon to be able to tell if the oaf is dores or not. So it's not a machlokas at all. However, the Me'iri understands that it is a machlokas. According to Reb Lazar Rebbe Tzadok, even if you don't know if it's dores, all you see is that it's mechalik es raglav, that's a simon tuma, and we don't pask like Reb Lazar Rebbe Tzadok. Rather, there's no oaf that's muksa katame until you see if it's drisa, that there's drisa mamish. So that's the discussion in the Rishonim, or some of the discussion in the Rishonim. Ubechagavim, when it comes to simani tara of chagavim, kol sheyesh lo arba raglayim, if it has four legs, v'arba knafayim, and if it has four wings as well, the kartzulim, and the two long legs that are on top of its legs or close to its neck, aside from the arba raglayim, it has these two other long legs that help it jump and hop, uknaf of chofenes rubo, and its wings covered the majority of its body. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shemo Chagav. Rabbi Yossi says there's another Tanai. It also has to be called a Chagav. If it doesn't have the name Chagav, then it's not kosher, even if it has all the Simani Tara that are mentioned over here. So there are Jews that have a Mesorah of different types of Chagavim that are kosher. But Dagim, so Dagim is a little bit easier because it says in the Torah, Kol Sheish L'Snapir V'Kaskeses. If it has fins and scales, Rabbi Yuda Omer, Shnei kaskasin usnapir echad, that it needs two kaskasin and one snapir. But if it has only one kaskeses, then it's a dag tame, it's asur b'achila. Ve'elu ein kaskasin hakvun bo. What are kaskasin? The scales that are actually stuck onto the skin of the animal. If it just falls right off, then those are not real scales. The snapirim haporeach behem. The fins are what it uses to swim. So if it helps the animal swim, so that's a that would be considered one of the simanitara of a fish. So that's the summary of the simanitara of all the different types of animals. Tan rabbanan eluhein simani behema. The following are the simani behema. Kol behema mefreses parsa. The pasuk says, any behemoth that's mefres parsa, goes on to say, v'shosah shesa, shnei prosas mala gera b'behemoth sotu chel, the pasuk says, so kol behemoth she malas gera, b'yodua shein lo shinayim l'mayla. Any behemoth that's a mala gera, it doesn't have teeth on the top of its mouth, and therefore, utahora. It's going to be a kosher, meaning one way to check if the behemoth is kosher or not, is look for the teeth on the top of its mouth. If it doesn't have it there, then it's a kosher animal. So the Gemara explains the klal, uklalo, is that really such a clear cut rule? Vare gamel de malageruhu veinlo shinayim lamala v'tame. A gamel is malagera, chooses its cud, and it doesn't have shinayim lamala. Like any animal that chooses its cud, doesn't have shinayim lamala because it does the initial digestion in a lower part of the animal, and nevertheless it's still not kosher. So Zimara, gamel nive islay. It has some teeth on the side of the top half of the mouth, and that helps it chew its food. But a behemoth that's malagera, that doesn't have any upper teeth at all. Ivare ben gamel de nivinami leslay. A very young gamel doesn't have the nivi, doesn't have the teeth in the top of its mouth at all, not even on the sides. Forget about the front. So the Gemara asks on the second klal that the Brisa gave as well, that any animal that's milas gera doesn't have shinayim lamala visu. So I'll ask even further, how can you say such a rule? Vare shafan va'arneves. What about a shafan and arneves, which like a rabbit, also the malas geira hein v'yesh lo shinayim lamala. It's malas geira, but it has shinayim lamala utmein, and it's not a kosher and these are not kosher animals because any behemoth that's malas geira doesn't have so there's no hechrich to this rule that any animal that it's malas geira doesn't have shinayim lamala. V'od shinayim miksivi baraisa. Does the Torah say as one of the simani Torah anything about shinayim? It doesn't talk about teeth at all. A behemoth that doesn't have shinayim is tahora and if it has shinayim, it's tameya. Why would the Brisa say such a rule? The rule doesn't exist in the Torah. Elahachi kamar. Kol behema she'en la shinayim l'mayla, biyadua shimalas gera mefreses parsa utahora. No, it's not. The metzius is any animal that doesn't have teeth l'mayla, so then you know that it's malas gera and mefreses parsa, and it therefore is a kosher animal. The Gemara doesn't deal with the fact that l'chora we still have the problem. Tosis points out that a young gamal does not have shinayim l'mayla and is tamei. So Tosis writes, so you have to say that you're talking about a case where you're makir a ben gamal, and you know that this behema that you found is not a ben gamal, and we're going to see many such examples of that in the Gemara soon. That as long as you know the one exception and you're able to identify this isn't that one exception, so then you're allowed to rely on these simanim. That's why these simanim are not absolute, but they exist. The livdok b'parso seha. So ask the Gemara, why does the Raisa give a simon to look for the shinayim? You could just be bodik the hooves, that if it has split hooves, then you know that it's a kosher animal. So the Gemara answers, no, the Raisa is talking about where you're unable to check the hooves. Kigon shei parso seha chatuchos, they're cut off. The feet of the animal are cut off. Uket Rav Chista, Dam Rav Chista, he mahalich b'midbar, a person's traveling in the desert. Umatz behema shei parso seha chatuchos, and you find an animal that you could use for food, but the problem is, its feet are cut off, so how do you know if it's kosher or not? Bodik b'fiha. If it doesn't have upper teeth, you know that it's kosher. The imlav, but if it has upper teeth, if it doesn't not have upper teeth, right, so it has upper teeth, biyodua shi tamei, then you know that it's a non-kosher animal. And another tanai, that the simon of behema that doesn't have tinaim, that is shinaim, that you know that it's Torah, ublavat shiakir gamal, as long as you know how to recognize what a gamal is, and you know that the animal that you're looking at is not a gamal, which is likely to find, you might be likely to find in a midbar, so as long as you know that this is not a gamal, then you can rely on that simon. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean, gamal nive yislay? Gamal has teeth, so you could still rely on the simon. Ella ublavat shiakir ben gamal. No, you have to be able to recognize what's not a ben gamal, what's not a young gamal that does not yet have any teeth on the upper part of its mouth. So lav amrit ika Ben Gamal. So ask Gemara, how could a person be sameich on the fact that this behema is kosher because it doesn't have any upper teeth? We said already there's one exception to the rule, and that's a Ben Gamal. Ikanami minachrin de dummy the Ben Gamal. So just like there's a Ben Gamal, there might be out there, there might be some other min that's like a Ben Gamal. So lo salkadaitach to tam de Rabbi Shmuel ve esagamal kimala gerahu shalit ba'olamu yodea shein lechadaver mala gerah v'tamei. El Gamal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made, that there's nothing, there's no creature in his world that is Malagera and is Tamei except for a Gamal and a Shafan and Neves that are mentioned explicitly in the Parasha. Lefichach, Pirpa Kasav, who? That's why the Torah Dafka says Lashon of Hu, to teach us that only those that are mentioned in the Parsha that are Malagera are Tamei, but there's no other behema that's Malagera and is Tameya. So that's why Chassid is saying you can actually rely on the simon, because that's the mesora that we have based on the wording of the Torah. So this is one of the rayas that they bring in, like the Esha Torah discovery seminars, you know, about how we know the truth of the Torah, because no one ever could have made a statement in the times of the Tanaim or the times of the Amoraim that there will not be a creature that defies this rule, because there are so many different creatures that you find all the time that they're still discovering. Certainly marine creatures a lot, you know, they discover new types of fish and everything, and new types of animals every day. So to make such a definitive statement, only the Borei Olam could have made such a statement. We can only have such a thing b'masara from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If a person is traveling, and he finds an animal that's mouth is all messed up, so you're not able to know if it has teeth or not, so just check its hooves. If it has split hooves, you know that it's kosher. If it doesn't have split hooves, you know that it's not kosher. As long as you're familiar with what a pig looks like, because if it has split hooves, it might be a pig, even though it's, and that's obviously not kosher, but as long as you know that this animal is not a pig. So says, but if a pig is an exception, there could be other things that are also an exception. Pasuk says, Ela Chazir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the only thing that's mafres parsa and is not kosher is a chazir. Lefichach pir parakasav hu. That's why the pasuk says hu dafka by the chazir. It's dafka the chazir. There's no other animal like it. V'yomer chisayir mahalik b'midbar. If a person's traveling in the desert, matzbeim shapia gamum, and he finds an animal whose mouth is all messed up, you can't tell if it has teeth or not. Uparsel chatuchos. And its hooves are cut off. So you have no way of being able to tell if it's Malagera or if it's Mafresas Parsa. So Bodik Bivisara, you could check its flesh. In Mahalich Shasi Va'arev, if it goes along length and widthwise, Biodua Shi Tahora, then you know that it's kosher. Vimla, Biodua Shi Tameya. And if not, then you know that it's a non kosher animal. Ubavad Shi Yakir Arod, as long as you recognize an Arod, which is a non kosher animal, even though it has Shasi Va'arev type of Basar. So as long as you know this animal is not an arod, because the arod's basar shasi v'arev, then you can rely that this animal is kosher. The Rivash raises a question in the Tshuva: why do you have to be choshesh for an arod? The arod is a miut katan of all the behemos and the chayos in the world. Rov of the behemos that the basar goes shasi v'arev are kosher animals. So why can't you be somech on the rov? Meaning, let's say, I don't know, I didn't pay attention to the children's books that identified all the different animals, so I don't know what an arod looks like, but I know that this animal is shesivariv, and I know that all the kosher animals are shesivariv, and there's only one single exception. So why do I have to be choshish for that exception? So the Rivash writes, because there's a mitzvah to be bodik b'simanim, and there's a mitzvah to be mavdil and makir between a behemah Torah and a behemah Tameya. So a rove is not a fulfillment of that mitzvah. So it could be that midine iser in a chinami, you're not in violation of an iser, but it's a bitul mitzvah saseh. There's a mitzvah to be bodik simanim, you're not mekayim having the mitzvah of being mavdil, being bodek, the simanim. The Chassam Sofer suggests that he said that Rav Chisda Dafka says this din about someone who's malik b'midbar and he doesn't know what's indigenous to this area. So it could be that the arod is the rov in this area, meaning rov does not go by rov ha'olam, it goes by rov of what's matzoy over here. So since you're in the midbar, you don't know what kinds of animals are to be found over here. Maybe that's why you can't follow the rov. So anyway, I asked the Gemara, lav amritika arod, ikanami minachrina d'damiel arod. So similar question to what we asked before, that if there's one exception, there may be 1,000 exceptions, we just haven't discovered them yet. Gemiri deleka. No, we have a mesorah that there's no other exception. The hecha bodek, which part of the meat do you check to see if it runs shesi varev? Am rabbi vitem rav chista bekanfei ha'oketz. You check under the tailbone, that's by the tail of the animal, and the kosher animal, you could rip it open there and see if the basar is shesi varev. That's the place to check. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to say Simani Chaya, that the Simani Chaya and Behema are both mentioned in the Torah. Tanu Rabbanan, Elu Hein Simani Chaya. The following are a way to tell if a Chaya is kosher. Says Mar, if a Chaya is kosher, Chaya b'chal Behema yil simanim. A Chaya is kosher, the same simanim as a Behema being kosher. It's all about split hooves and chewing its cud. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Lahatir Chalba. No, what we're saying over here now is not to determine whether a Chaya is kosher, but whether the chaylev, whether this animal is a chaya or a behema, so that you can know whether it's chaylev is asr or mutar ba'achila. So v'achikamar, and this is how the Bryce is saying, Elohim simani chaya shechel b'mutar. The following are a simon to be able to tell that this is a chaya and therefore it's chaylev is mutar. Kol sheyesh l'karnayim, as long as it has horns, utzlafayim, and it has split hooves. So Rabbi Dosa Omer, yesh l'karnayim iat tzarech lachzar al tzlafayim. If it has horns, you don't have to check for tlafayim. Yesh lo tlafayim, tzarech atalachzar al karnayim. But if it has split hooves, you still have to check if it has horns to be able to determine whether it's chaylev is mutter, not to be able to determine if it's a chaya. The keresh, and a certain type of chaya that's called the keresh, afal pi she'em lo, ela keren achas mutter. Even though it only has a single horn, it's a unicorn, nevertheless, it's going to be to be mutter. Prichadash writes that a stam bal chai that only has one keren, only according to the sheet of Rabbi Dosa that karnayim are a simon for the fact that it's a chaya and for the fact that it's Torah, you could be somech on keren achas as a simon. So the shor that the Gemara says in Masech Shabbos that the shor that Adam Rishon was makriv had keren achas b'mitzcho. So it had to have been a min tahor because the Gemara says that we assume like Rabbi Dosa, but according to the Chacham that karnayim are a simon only to the fact that it's a chaya, that would not be enough to determine that it's also kosher, only that it's a chaya. But apparently the Gemara does assume that there is such a thing. There is such a thing as an animal that has only one horn. So klalahu, but wait, is this the rule that everything that's kranayim v'tlafayim is a chaya tahora and it's chaylev is mutter? Vaharei eiz diyesh lo kranayim v'tlafayim v'chal ba'asr. What about a goat that has kranayim v'tlafayim and the chaylev is asr? So says Gemara, not any kranayim are going to work. Kruchos be'inan. The kranayim need to be round. Vare shar de kruchos, a shar has round horns, the chelbo asr, and the chelav is asr, meaning it's a behemoth, it's not a chaya, charukos be'inon. Now, in addition to being kruchos, which is round layers, it also needs to be charukos, it needs to be grooved. Vare eiz de charukos, the eiz has grooved horns, the chelbo asr, well, mefutsalos be'inon. It also needs to be branched, where the horns branch out from each other. Vare tzvi de in mefutsalos, the chelbo mutter, the tzvi is not mefutsalos, and the chelav is mutter. That's because chaduros be'inan. They also need to be sharp. The horns need to be sharp in order for it to be considered a chaya. Hilka chaycha de miftsala lo dina v'lo dayana. If you have a chaya that's horns are mefutsalos, that they're branched, so there's nothing to discuss. It's for sure a chaya. You don't have to look for any other simanim. Hecha de lo miftsala, if it's not branched, be'inan kruchos, you need these round layers, chadu, and chaduros, and needs to be sharp in order to know that it's a chaya vicharukos, and it has to be grooved. V'hu demibla chirkayu, as long as the charitzim and the pegimos are close to each other. V'hainu sveka di iza karkus, and that's the suffix of the type of goat called the iza, called the karkus, that its horns are sharp and they're full of charitzim and pegimos, but it's called a goat. So that's a machlokas amongst the chachamim, since it has simani chaya, it has a din of a chaya and the chelev is mutter, or since it's called a goat, it has a din of a behema and the chelev is aser. Hayi iza karkus, dava beireish galusa, the akur malot sana de tarba mina. There was an ez karkus in the house of the Reish Galusa that they were able to take out a basket full of chaylev after they shechted it. So a lot of chaylev was at stake, whether this is a chayo or a behema. Rav Achai asr. Rav Achai said you're not allowed to eat that chaylev because he held that it's a min ez, and which is a suffix behema, and the chaylev behema is asr. Rav Shmuel ben Rabbi Yavo achol minei. Rav Shmuel ben Rabbi Yavo ate from that chaylev because he held that it's definitely a chaya, and the chaylev is therefore mutter. Kari Anafshe, so Shmuel said about himself, Mipri pi ish tispa bitno, in the zuchus of learning and having a Kabbalah from my Rebbeim, that the chaylev of such goats are mutter, I was able to enjoy a delicious meal. Shalchu mitam, so they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Hilchus kavasi de Shmuel b'rei Rabbi Yavo, that the halacha is like Shmuel b'rei Rabbi Yavo, that the chaylev is taka mutter, but v'yizaru b'rabbeinu achai, shemeir enei golahu. But you have to be careful that the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, our Masri, the B'nai Bavel, you have to give extra cover to Rabbeinu Achai because he's a Chacham Gadol, he's Meir Enei Agola, and therefore you can't be Matir this Chelev Befanav. If you ever have this discussion Befanav and you bring Rayas that it's Mutter, you cannot be Matir it until Rav Achai is Moda to your Rayas that it is in fact Mutter. So you see that there is this Inyan of someone being a Meir Enei Hagola and therefore being even though you know better and you know that the Halacha is not that way, you're still not allowed to, you still have to give him that extra level of kavod. That's what Rashi writes. That you should be zayir linog bo kavod, lodun lefan of kalacha ad sheyachzer bo. Meaning, you're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to be matir b'fanav until he's actually chozer. Yamshel Shlomo writes, and therefore Yamshel Shlomo writes in third parak Sim Kuf Yud Beis, shekein roy linog afilu ato lechol gadol adora muksuk sheinu mara liyora unetzach lizar bekvodo. This is part of the din of kavod tam chacham that you have to show. There's a tshuva in the Marivayil who says that, you know, we have this phrase in Chazal, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. So Marivayil says, that just means you have to follow the Piskei Halacha. But it doesn't mean that you show the same level of kavod to the Chachamim in your generation that you would show to Shmuel. Because Gemara itself talks about how the level of kavod HaTorah diminished. At the end of Masechah Sota, right, but the kavod HaTorah, how they used to sit in one way in front of the Rebbeim and then they sat a different way. So kavod HaTorah is not the same in future generations as it was in other generations. But the Marik writes in the Tshuva, not that way. The Marik says, certainly all the dinim of kavod HaTorah, we lament that Nismayim kavod HaTorah, all the dinim of kavod of Talmud Chacham apply, Yiftach Bedor Kishmuel. He says, and even if you want to argue that it's really only about listening to their Piskei Halacha, no one's going to listen to their Piskei Halacha if you don't show them the proper kavod. Meaning one is a function of the other. When the Gedolei Hador is shown proper kavod, then people will take what they say very seriously. So it's a question of exactly the limits of this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in our Chaim Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Test to Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein asked, am I allowed to argue on you? You know, you're of Moshe, so like, am I allowed to argue? And is it do we say that, you know, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmuel Bedoro, or like Rav Achai, who's Meir Enei Agola? So Rav Moshe says, nah, we don't have such a din of such a person like that nowadays. Of course you're allowed to argue with me. Now on the particular issue that Rav Menashe Klein was arguing with him on, he says, I happen to be right about this issue, you're wrong, but you know, you're allowed to argue with me. So some say, no, of course Rav Moshe is going to say that, Meirov and Nusso, but maybe no one was allowed to argue with him. Lemaisa, many poskim argued with him about a lot of things. So Keresh Aval Pishay Noel Kerenachas Mutter. So he said Keresh, even though there's one horn, is mutter. I'm review the Keresh Tavya de Beilai. It's a deer that lives in the forests of Beilai. Tagrim Arya de Beilai. A tigris is an Arya de Beilai. Amr of Kanatesham Hasa Havi Bain Una Luna da Arya de Beilai. This Arya de Beilai is no normal lion. It had 9 amos between one ear and the next ear. here. Amar of Yosef Shitzar Amhasa Havi Mashke de Tavya de Beilai. The length of the animal's body was 16 amos. Amar le Kesar Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya. Along those lines, the Kesar once said to Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya, Elokechem ka'arye matil. Your God is compared to a lion. Tchsev Arye Shaag Milo Yira. So my Rabbu say, what's the big deal about a lion? Prasha Katalaria. Hunters can kill lions. Amar le Lav ka'arye matil. No, he got the wrong kind of lion. Ka'arye de Beilai matil. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a mashal of Arye de Beilai. Amar le Beina de Mechazis le Nihali. I want you to show me the Arye de Beilai. What's so impressive about it? Amar le Lomatzis Chazis le. You can't. You're not going to be able to withstand even seeing it. Amar le Ibr Chazina le. Nah, I'm ready to see it. So Bayrach Meis Rabbi Shua Davind Isakram Mituchtei and the Arye de Beilai started coming toward town. Toward Rome. When it was 400 parcels away, Niam Chad Kala, it roared. Apilu kol ma'abarta, and every pregnant woman had a miscarriage. Vishura de Rome inafel, and the walls of Rome fell. Admarchak slas me'aparsi, when it was 300 parcels away, Niam Kala achrina, it roared again. Notur kachi vishine de gavri, every man's teeth fell out. Va'afu nafel mikursay la'ara, and even the kesar fell to the ground. Amalei b'matusu minach, boy rachmele de la'ara. He said, okay, I don't need him to come any further. He's come far enough. So boy rachmelei vahadalei la'asrei. So he davened for it that it should go back to where it came from. The symbolism of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being nimsha la'aryeh is likely the basis of the minhag. It's already discussed in Rishonim, the basis of the minhag that you find many times on a paroches or an Aron Kodesh, the symbol of a lion. And very often in the Chuvas Divrei Yitziv, he explains that's a mesorah. And a very old Masorah, and even though there are those that don't like it, of Tzura, of Chayos, or whatever, but it's a very old Masorah, and Dafka to make those images of a lion over what looks like the Luchos, to make it clear that it's supposed to be the imagery of our dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lion, but we draw the lions that we know of, not Aryeh Devei Lai, so it seems to be a little bit off, but okay. All right, cool.